Hello, and thank you for listening to our new educational series, OE Talks. We are excited to bring to you something special for the 30th anniversary Opportunity Exchange, Accessible Education. What does that mean? Education, when it makes sense in your schedule. Education that is available when you are. You are not limited to learning during the one-day event, but instead when you have a few extra minutes in your day. Our plan is to help diverse businesses to prepare for all that Opportunity Exchange has to offer and allow you to make the most of the opportunity. My name is Stephanie Burton, and I am a manager in supplier diversity at Toyota. I am located in Saline, Michigan, and have been a part of the Toyota team for 23 years. Today, I am joined by Logan Wick with Outbranding Promotions and Christy Wong Barrett with MacArthur Corporation. Logan, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Logan Wick. I am the founder and CEO of Outbranding Promos. We can put your logo on anything. We offer outstanding concierge level of service for all your promotional product needs, and we give over 20% of our profits back to charity every year. How we add value to our clients like Toyota, Google, Coca-Cola, Sony, and Merck is they tell us what their event or goal is, the quantity, approximate budget, and when they need to buy, and we come up with some in-the-box ideas, some out-of-the-box ideas, and put them all together in an easy-to-digest presentation. They make their selections, and we handle it from start to finish, make sure it gets delivered on time. Essentially, we act as an extension of their team.
Thank you, Logan, for joining us today. Christy, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Christy Wong Barrett. I'm the CEO of MacArthur Corporation. We're a proud supplier to Toyota Corporation and a manufacturer of custom labels and functional film components to world-leading brands in automotive, electronics, and mobility. We've been supplying to our customers for over 50 years. I'm also an engaged advocate and mentor for minority and women-owned business development in the United States.
Thank you, Christy. Now let's dig in. Okay, so you met the potential customer at OE. Now what?
Make notes immediately about what you have talked about. If there's anything specific they mentioned that they wanted or needed or like about the goods or services that you provide. Often I will write this on their business card while we are talking or immediately after so they don't forget any pertinent details. Ask when and how it would be best to follow up with them and then actually do it in the way they requested. I also note this on the business card in real time. Sometimes I ask if I can take a selfie with the person, and then when I do an email follow-up, I will reference our conversation and attach the selfie so they can put my face to the name and to the conversation, and it's a great memory jogger. The fortune is in the follow-up, and connecting with them in a patient way that makes you more memorable helps you stand out from the crowd, and that's absolute key.
First of all, I always recap, and what I mean by that is you summarize your company's value proposition and your differentiated ability to service that customer. You know, remind the customer of applicable qualifications that you have that relate to their business and any references as well that will, again, relate to their business. As a bonus, if you understand your customer's corporate priorities, you should outline how working with your company as a supplier can help your customer achieve their corporate objectives. So after I recap, the second thing I like to do when I'm talking to my customer is to discover. Use that opportunity to discover more information that will help you better service and understand their needs. So for example, what are their current priorities? If you don't already know them, investigate and ask about their corporate priorities, their purchasing priorities, and their engineering priorities, and especially those that might relate to their supply base. You want to gather this information from your customer to help you hone your commercial approach. That means how best to present your business, what formats will be most successful, who you should include and contact, and specifically what information is going to resonate the most with that particular customer. And then finally, after discovery, clarify the next steps and be specific. So what are the follow-up items that you will provide to the customer? What are the items that customer indicated they would provide to you? Who is the contact person that you should be reaching out to? What's the timeline of expectation for providing that information and that follow-up? What method is preferred by your customer? Some people prefer the phone, others prefer email, others have a web-based submission portfolio. Finally, what's the escalation path? If you don't hear back or are unable to achieve that item within a specific time frame, what method does your customer recommend you escalate?
Great thought starters. I like to tell diverse companies, don't send me an email this evening or even next week. Give me time to get back to the office, settle in, and then when I do get your email, it's at the top of the pile where you want to be. What have you found to be the most effective method or process for follow-up? Personally, I like getting quarterly updates. For Toyota, new business opportunities could be up to 5 years out, so it doesn't really make sense for you to email me weekly or even monthly. But tell me what you're doing that you weren't doing when we met or the last time you sent me an update. Who are your new customers and what new technology have you implemented? Focus on stats, savings, disruptive technologies. Christy, what do you think?
I 100% agree with what you're stating. It was actually something I would like to reinforce. Certainly, one of the items that I find very effective in follow-up is partnering with the customer supplier diversity advocate. So maintaining that contact with your supplier diversity team by updating them on a regular basis. As Stephanie said, she likes a quarterly update. Others may want a monthly. Others may want every 6 months, depending on their business cadence. But providing them, again, an update on your progress with the customer, with your outreach, any new technologies, new opportunities. And in cases where they can further support or assist you with unexpected delays, it's going to help you maintain that forward momentum to progress your relationship with the customer. I would also add two other items that I think are effective for follow-up. The second one is do your homework and be ready. So when you have agreed on next steps for follow-up with your customer during a previous meeting, make sure you've prepared those next steps thoroughly and that you prepared your interaction to be very professional and very precise. You might only have one chance to make it over that next hurdle of evaluation, and the customer's availability to engage you is going to be limited, and it sometimes may be immediate or in short notice. So make sure you're ready and your homework is done professionally. And then the third item I would say is be patient and politely persistent. I know that's a lot of P's, but vendor evaluation and purchasing decisions at large companies, it really involves a lot of different stakeholder groups, and it can take a long time. So you need to be patient, providing your customer contacts time to respond and evaluate the materials you provided or evaluate the discussion that you've just had. But be also politely persistent with reminders on at least a quarterly basis if you haven't had any feedback. And again, to circle back to the first item that reinforces what Stephanie mentioned from Toyota is, again, partner with your supplier diversity advocates at the customer and do that in a thoughtful and a professional manner.
Great information. Logan, what do you think?
Follow up as requested during your initial meeting. If you have a good or service that is in a crowded space, often the process is longer because of the contracts already in place or incumbents that you have to compete with. The most effective method I've found is long-term consistency and relationship building. I go to as many events and conferences as possible, and I always go and say hello, reintroduce myself if necessary. The promotional products category that I'm in is a very, very crowded space, so building a relationship over time with people in a genuine way has been key to our success at landing very large and long-term contracts.
I really find it valuable when meeting a company that they focus on references with provable recent performance. Logan, how do you incorporate that into your discussion?
I actually incorporate some key clients / references right into my elevator pitch. This helps with the credibility right away. Make sure your references are relevant to your audience. For instance, manufacturers want to hear about your work with other manufacturers. Tech companies want to hear about your experience and how you delivered for other tech companies. If you don't have something that is one-for-one applicable, choose an example of how you delivered something unique, exceptionally well, or a client that you went above and beyond for. These will help shape and create the narrative of your core competence.
Start with companies in the same industry as the potential supplier and how you help them solve a problem. We all have so many pain points. Solving one that will then free us up to make impact in another area is music to our ears. Christy, how do you incorporate your value in the discussion?
Well, I think first of all, I like to just reflect that customer service is a priority for our business and as a supplier. And the way to do that is ensuring that our potential customer recognizes that we will really strive to understand very deeply and exceed their unique expectations. We're not going to apply a cookie cutter approach from our prior references wholly to their business. So that's the one thing I think is really important to recognize. Just because you're a supplier to one company that may be a reference doesn't mean you're going to have to do it exactly the same way to service your new customer. They're all going to have some unique requirements that are differentiated. The second thing we like to do when communicating our provable performance is to demonstrate that reliability in our track record. So I like to put myself in the shoes of my customer and communicate those baseline capabilities that will indicate that we're a reliable supplier partner. Obviously, people are considering quality, cost, time, innovation, and your service as key dimensions of your capabilities. So putting those references in the context of examples of our baseline capabilities. We want to demonstrate also our industry know-how, our processes that apply to that same customer, and our certifications, again, that are applicable to their industry. I think customers really appreciate understanding how many years we have serviced their industry and their competitors, and also any industry-specific certifications. And also those capabilities that service as joint requirements from other companies, but recognizing that there will be unique differences that we can apply for their business. And then finally, the last thing we do is we like to be transparent, and we think our customers also appreciate it. We demonstrate our record by actually showing customer scorecards in our presentation materials. It reinforces our credentials. It showcases the level of our quality and delivery in other companies that have also very high expectations. For engineering discussions, we provide a deep dive of specifications that were already approved on that may really relate to that customer already or to their tier one suppliers. And as a bonus, we offer up references. First, you ask the customer if they would like to connect with any of references from other companies that you service during their evaluation process. Sometimes they will ask for that. And then obviously those references could be internal, people that you've already worked with at that customer if you're looking at expanding to other plants or other business units. Or those references could be external if you would be a new supplier to that business. But make sure in advance that you've cleared this with your references that you're asking.
Earlier, you heard some information about being patiently persisting when following up, and I want to readdress that slightly because at Toyota, patiently persistent means that you stop by and say hello when we're at the same event, but you don't just walk up with your hand out expecting a contract. Instead, occasionally remind me how you could save me money if you were a supplier, and include specifics. So, Christy, how do you follow up with new contacts made at events? Like opportunity.
Thanks for that question. So we obviously meet a lot of great potential customers at Opportunity Exchange and other events like that. I think the first thing we always do and what I recommend is to be comfortable graciously withdrawing. So first, and what I mean by that is you first identify which of those new contacts there's a good fit with your business at that time. And if there's not a fit, provide a response to the person that you met, thanking them graciously for their time and information, but do not activate further commercial follow-up because you're just wasting their time and your time because you're not ready or they're not a good fit for your business. And the second thing we do is we segment those priorities. For the potential customers that appear to be a strong fit for our business, we group them into two buckets, ready now or develop. Ready now customers are those where our capabilities fit their supply needs today. And there is also some source of prioritization that that customer may be interested in making a change and entertaining a new supplier, whether that be a corporate or purchasing priority, supply chain disruption, growth in their business, a change in commodity strategy, or having an internal champion in the organization to drive diversity and supply base improvement. That second group I call the develop group. And those are where our capabilities partially fit into the potential customer supply needs, but we still have some growth to do or expansion. Or they have a firm supply-based strategy that doesn't really provide room to introduce your company at that time. For those customers, I maintain continuity in communications, but it's pretty light touch. And that means we keep our finger on the pulse, we gather new insight on a regular basis, and we politely, you know, engage with them at any opportunity to again learn more and stay in touch with what their needs are and how they're emerging. Someday, our fit may emerge, because of a change in their strategy or growth in our own capabilities as a company, and they can become a ready now customer for proactive commercial development.
Agreed, 100%. Logan, what about you?
Well, first identify those with a potentially immediate need and follow up accordingly. So that could be the following week or as quickly as they requested the follow up. I follow up via email initially to anchor from the first contact, referencing our conversation, sending a picture if we had taken one. From there, I will reach out again if I've been told about an upcoming opportunity. After sending the email, I will look for them on LinkedIn and include a personal note so that they remember who I am, where we met, just to jog their memory, if you will. I then will also look them up on Twitter, follow them, and look up the company's official account as well so I can stay in the loop of their world. I do really want to stress here, though, I do not use other social media to connect with them, such as, you know, Facebook, Instagram. Those are usually very highly personal. And you have to remember that the supplier diversity folks, that this is their job, and you're new in their world, and you're not at that level yet. So maintain the professional level, and Twitter's out there for everyone to see and what have you. Don't connect on the more personal social media platforms unless or until you have an actual friendship / relationship. That's really important. You want to make sure that you're staying connected at the professional level and leave the personal for if, when it gets personal. And that way you're maintaining a, you know, staying close and in touch, but not too close.
Excellent conversation, and I wish we had more time. I want to take one last second to see if Logan or Christy have any last minute words of wisdom as people are preparing for opportunity exchange. Logan?
To recap really quick, being patient and genuine is the key in building long-term relationships. Remember that people are connecting with other people as people first. So people do business with those that they, one, like, two, know, and three, trust. So again, they'll do business with people they like, know, and trust. So be your authentic professional self, polish your pitch, be consistent, and remember, fortune is in the follow-up.
Christy.
First of all, I think it's important to recognize fit. Your business capabilities must fit the needs of the customer you're trying to service as a supplier partner. If there's not a fit, you're going to be wasting the time of your customer and of your organization trying to prove out capabilities in an environment that you're just not ready to service. In addition, it can close the door for future opportunities by appearing unprepared and lacking a capability. Secondly, it's important to focus your organization on those customers that you are trying to develop. If you're over-fragmented, you will not be successful. So on a regular basis, at a minimum annually, it's important to clearly identify for your team the customer priorities for new business development and growth. This will minimize your organization's fragmentation and will focus your sales team and all the functional departments to work together to support the commercial development of those customers. It's not just your sales team that's being evaluated, but also your technical capability, your manufacturing capability, and the delivery record of your company. It takes your whole organization to onboard a new customer successfully. So making sure they're focused and they understand the priorities is critical.
Thank you so much to Christy and Logan for taking the time to join us today and to share their wisdom with all of our listeners. I hope that everyone found today's discussion beneficial and that you will check back to hear our future conversations. OE Talks is a four-part series where we plan to bring education to you that will help you make the most of OE. Our future sessions will continue to build off of the first two sessions. Next, we'll be refining your approach, how to best say it. And the final session will be how to use the OE app to maximize engagement. Thank you again to Christy and Loken for taking time of your busy schedules to help us prepare diverse businesses to take conversations to the next level.